All right, coming down a little bit from the buzz of the Indiana game, we're going to look into a couple of minutia points from that game. We'll get to some of your Twitter thoughts as well throughout the show. Also, Benny Williams, what is going on with him? Should we start to panic? Should we start to worry? Tim and I are going to lay out the roadmap for what Benny Williams and the rest of the season should look like with him. And we'll also get to some other things that we noticed from that Indiana game. All that is coming up next.
You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up and welcome in. This is the Locked On Syracuse podcast. I'm Tyler Aki. I'm joined by Tim Leonard, as I am every single day. We thank you for making Locked On Syracuse your first listen every single day. Free and available on all platforms. That includes YouTube. And that also includes Spotify, Tim. That was pretty cool to see yesterday.
Yeah.
Spotify raps. People were sending them to us. They were tweeting them at us. They were sending to us in the DMs, kind of where we ranked on their Spotify Wrapped podcast section. And for everyone that had us number one, like that was really cool to see. We appreciate you guys listening every day. If you haven't checked out your Spotify Wrapped and we're on there somewhere, shoot it at us. We'd love to retweet you. We'd love to interact with you on it. So we really appreciate all you guys, whether we're one, whether we're five, whether we're 10, we don't care. We're just happy you guys listen to us every single day, and we really appreciate that. Today's episode brought to you by Omaha Steaks. The holidays are right around the corner, and finding the perfect gift is tricky. Omaha Steaks, though, they make it easy to send friends and family an unforgettable gift guaranteed to be loved. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter college into the search bar to order the perfect gift package. Ooh, Omaha Steaks. I can already dial up what I'm getting everyone for Christmas this year. They are fantastic. So we thank them for sponsoring today's episode of the Locked On Syracuse podcast. I want to dive into a poll that I put out yesterday. We'll get to Benny Williams in a little bit, as well as your Twitter thoughts. But Syracuse wins yesterday. We talked about it on the recap. You can check that out. 112-110, the final. There were some hiccups. It felt like this game should have been won in regulation. It kind of felt like you won the game at halftime to a degree. But I just kind of posed the question. After last night's game, do you feel more optimistic about the team, more pessimistic about the team, or is your opinion still kind of plateaued, stagnant? It's kind of the same thing that you were thinking heading into the game.
I think I'm pretty much the same. And I just say that from a perspective of, I think this is a bubble team again. And that's kind of what I thought at the start of the year. This is just forever a bubble team. Syracuse basketball in the regular season, it seems like, which I know is a whole nother dynamic, whole nother topic that we've talked a lot about on this podcast, but it's a team that is only going to get better from this point out. But the big question mark is how much better can the defense get? Yeah. And that's where I keep coming back to. I think, you know, maybe Barama comes back and he plays some minutes for you here or there, but in general, the center position looks really good already. So that's not that big of a concern. It's just Jesse Edwards staying out of foul trouble and progressing in that regard. But the big question mark is just with an unathletic team, how much better can they get on defense from what is historic lows right now defensively?
So this is kind of exactly what we've been saying all along, right? This team's going to be able to win any game. They're going to be able to lose any game just because of the nature of their defense and the nature of their shooting. Their shooting, obviously a big plus. Their defense, obviously a big fat minus for what this team has been. And there's going to be so many games this season where you're going to see Syracuse Twitter and the fan message boards and all that stuff say, we're back. Like, this is the game. We're back. But at the end of the day, there's also going to be a ton of games where it's going to be like, oh, Fire Boeheim and oh, Joe Girard, Sienna, all that crap that you hear after some of the losses that they've had. Like, that's just the season it's going to be. This is just one of the highs on the roller coaster. Not too far down the road, I'm sure we'll see one of the lows. If they get blown out against Villanova, I'm sure we're going to be right back at the lows. But hey, you bounce back and win a couple games in ACC play to start things off, the highs are going to be back.
Yeah, it's going to be like every other season for the last 5 or 6 years, yeah. Right? Like, it's sort of a joke, but it's not really. I mean, this is kind of easy to predict now. It's not that hard. Sometimes I feel like we almost overthink it, and we try and talk ourselves into why this team might be slightly different than the year before that, or try and find comparisons for each team. This is a really bad defensive team. We've had good defensive teams and some really bad offensive teams that have landed themselves in the bubble. So the DNA of the team is pretty similar, I guess, more so to the last couple years, and not necessarily the general Syracuse team, because there's not a lot of athletes and there's a good amount of shooting, and it probably is one of Jim Boeheim's better shooting teams, but it's also one of his worst defensive teams right now. So
it's not his worst, the absolute worst.
Yeah.
For like, a guy who's been coaching over 45 years now.
I tweeted this out from our account at @LO_Syracuse, but doing some research on Hoop Math, it's like the more you look into the defense, the worse it is. And I know the eye test is really bad.
At some point, you just got to stop digging, because you're going to find some bones and some other stuff you don't want to see.
Yeah, but I mean, just to summarize what I found is teams are shooting 68% at the rim. That's 338th in the nation out of 358 teams. And teams are also shooting 37% from three. We know that's been a huge area, a huge trouble spot. And that is 315th in the nation. And as of recording this and looking last night, for most of the people that are listening now in the morning here, we're recording the night before, they're the third worst power conference team in terms of defense at the rim. And they're the third worst power conference team in terms of three-point defense allowed right now. Mm-hmm. Now, coincidentally, the teams behind them in terms of power conference teams in those stats are all ACC teams. UNC's been really bad defensively. Georgia. So that gets into why I think they will be fine in terms of NCAA tournament aspirations and bubble. The ACC is not good, and there's going to be wins.
A little bit
out
of a rally in the Big Ten ACC challenge last night, but yeah, no, you're overall, you're right. Yeah, it's still very worrisome.
Yeah, I mean, we need to. I was sent you that clip from our guy Jeff Goodman where he's just on the field of 68 after
awful,
dark show. Just,
awful.
It's awful. We need to maybe dub that in, not to put more work on, but it's. It was funny getting a kick out of that. I mean, it's not a good league right now. And Virginia's probably going to get better. Florida State, it was undermanned against Purdue. And we got Florida State coming up here. That's a strong test. But you go down the schedule, they have eight games against Miami, Wake, Pitt, and BC this year.
Right.
That could be eight wins right there. That's eight teams that are, if not going to be 100 in KenPom, maybe even worse. I mean, Pitt is 200 in KenPom right now.
Yep, mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, again, we kind of talked about this when we laid out the schedule at the beginning of the season. You've got eight games where 7-1, if you do anything worse than that, is going to feel like a failure. Wake, BC, Pitt, and Miami, like you laid out there. You're doubling up on literally the weakest of the weak in the conference. So that's a gift. The scheduling is a gift for you this year. Now, the non-conference is a little bit more difficult, but once you get into conference play and once the games, quote unquote, mean a little bit more, you are being handed a little bit of a bone there. So we'll see if they can take advantage. We did poll this question. Tonight was a huge win for Syracuse. Obviously, we tweeted this the night of the game. But does it make it you feel more optimistic about the team's outlook for the rest of the season? More optimistic led the way, 48%. Feeling the same was second, right on its tail at 47%. And 5% are saying more pessimistic. I think it comes down to a couple of things here. All right, we can kind of real quick do a bullet point checkbox. Let me know. Just give me your gut when I give you this. More or less optimistic about a couple of different segments of the team. The center position, pretty easy to answer there. More optimistic, right?
Yeah, because even Frank looked pretty good. So yeah, that's an easy one.
But even with Jesse's performance, like Frank could be playing like the worst center in the country right now, and the center position, you're still saying more optimistic just because of what Jesse's doing. The defense, more pessimistic. We thought it was going to be bad. We didn't think it was going to be this bad.
So you're talking like since the start of the season or the Indiana
like your,
game?
Your preseason expectations compared to where you are now with it.
Yeah, I mean, the defense has been even worse than I thought, and I thought I was setting the bar pretty low there.
Yeah. Buddy Boeheim's overall performance?
More optimistic. I think I even undersold his performance. I mean, he was so good in that Indiana game, and we talked about that yesterday, but I would say more optimistic.
Joe Girard.
Tough one. I don't know.
I think that's kind of like the neutral one.
They are who we thought they were, kind of on that front, because he's had some good games, and then he throws the ball over teammates' heads and chucks 30-footers when the game's on the line. I mean, that's just Joe Girard. I think we kind of know what we're getting now, and the turnovers have been pretty bad. So maybe more pessimistic, honestly.
Cole Swider.
Pessimistic, I would say. He just, when his shot's not going in, it's kind of tough for him to help out.
I would say this with Cole, the shooting is more pessimistic, but I think some of the other areas of his game, I'm a little more optimistic. So I do want to dive into Cole Swider at some point. Maybe we'll do it a little on tomorrow's episode. And then Benny Williams, I think this is an easy one for both of us. I mean, more pessimistic, but let's save our thoughts there because we're going to get into the Benny Williams development plan and what we want to see out of him. Because listen, the season's still very young. He's got plenty of time to pick it up. We'll go through what we've seen from Benny so far and what we want to see the rest of the way. But first, do you have a need to get a gift, the perfect gift for someone? With the holidays right around the corner, finding that perfect gift can be a little bit tricky, and Omaha Steaks makes it easy to send friends and family an unforgettable gift guaranteed to be loved. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter the word college into the search bar to order the perfect gift package. For $99.99, you'll get 24 entrees like the world-famous bacon-wrapped filet mignons, chicken breasts, sides, desserts, and so much more when you use code COLLEGE. You'll also get an additional 8 Omaha Steaks burgers for free with that order. That just sounds good. I mean, yeah, some bacon-wrapped
filet mignons,
some chicken, some burgers in there. We've heard all about the reports about shortages and shipping delays, so don't wait. Order the perfect gift package today at omahasteaks.com, and you'll get 8 free burgers when entering the code COLLEGE. It's perfect for Tim down south who can still grill. Even if you can't grill, you can save them, and they'll be good to go by the time you're ready to start grilling again. Or maybe, I mean, Omaha Steaks are so good, I'll go out and brave the 25 and fire up the grill just to get myself a good Omaha steak. Achieving gift greatness with Omaha Steaks. Incredible flavor, incredible value, and 100% guaranteed. OmahaSteaks.com, keyword college. So Benny Williams, it has been a rough go so far. I don't think this is the start anyone envisioned with Benny Williams, where we were sold the bill of goods that he is a 5-star. Now, he didn't enter the season starting, and I don't think we will see him starting at any point this season. And, you know, I think you really got to credit Jim Boeheim here because his job is to win games. And I get we live in the era now where you have to keep guys happy, especially these 5-star guys who at the drop of a hat can transfer wherever they want and not risk sitting out. But he made a tough move, I think, in not starting a 5-star in Benny Williams and opting for his son. But so far, with his job being to win games, he has made the right call, and Jimmy Boeheim starting over Benny Williams, it doesn't even look like it's much of a contest, really.
No. I'm glad you said that because I think there is going to always be a segment of the fan base that is going to say, oh, why isn't Benny playing 25, 30 minutes? The reason why he's struggling is because Boeheim's got him on a short leash. He played 19 minutes the other night against Indiana, and he didn't really do anything positive. Yeah. Like Boeheim did say that after the game, and he was pretty harsh on him, but he may have played too many minutes. And I'm
here's
not
my thing too. I don't think he's been given a short leash per se. Like I think Boeheim lets him make one or two mistakes out there. It's when he makes that second or third one, that's when he gets the yank. Like we've seen in the past where he has no room for error with anyone. But I still think he's been given the liberty to make one or two mistakes out there before he gets yanked.
Yeah, and
he's not in the doghouse. Let's put it that way.
No, but he might be getting there because at a certain point, you got to win games, and he's not giving you much right now. I know that I'm not going to make a lot of friends on this podcast by coming on and criticizing Benny and saying it's time to worry, but I'm just calling it like I see it right now, and he played 19 minutes. He had 2 rebounds, 1 block, 1 steal. He went to the line and had 2 really bad free throw attempts. And that's the thing. It's the shot. I just don't know how he rounds the corner. He needs some big game, some big moment, some big confidence booster, because you can see it. He feels like a guy that just has no confidence, nothing going for him out there. And I've been on this for a while, but I feel like everyone is trying to convince themselves that, oh, he's doing so many other things. And oh, it's still early. And you can see the athleticism. Like, I agree. You can see the athleticism.
You can see it in there somewhere. He is going to have one of those games. It almost reminds me of what we saw with Robert Braswell. And maybe the fact that his game right now is not what you expect from a 5-star. Like, you see some of these other 5-stars going out there, like Ty Washington at Kentucky and Paolo Banchero at Duke and Chet Holmgren at Gonzaga. And it just looks like a 5-star offensive game. And you just don't see that with Benny right now. Maybe that's why fans' minds are sort of warped, but it almost reminds me of like Robert Braswell, which it sucks having to compare him to a guy like Braswell, who obviously wasn't as highly recruited as Benny Williams, but he's going to have, like, remember with Braswell, it kind of felt like every season we got this with him. There was one game where he kind of popped off, whether it was defensively, maybe he hit a couple threes, and it led to more playing time. And it just kind of got the snowball rolling, got the train rolling, and led to more time out there on the floor. At some point, I think we are going to see that with Benny Williams. We're going to see a game. I don't know when it's going to be. It literally can be any game. But he may go out there. He'll play 25 minutes, grab 6 boards, get 4 steals, maybe have a block or two, and score 10 points. And that'll be the game that gets him going.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is, it's kind of sad to me that that's him popping off, because at the start of the year, I would have expected that to be somewhat close to his averages, right? Like what we were sort of anticipating from him just hasn't panned out. And there was so much talk about how his shot was really solid, and it's not right now. It needs some work. It clearly is too much of a line drive, and I think it's just going to take time. And that's why I'm on here saying that I don't really see him popping off scoring wise for a little bit. Is he doing a lot of good stuff defensively? Kind of. And I think he's still,
his steal and block rates are pretty good. If you look on KenPom at some of the numbers, he's like nationally ranked with some of that stuff. But like you said, you've tweeted it out from our account. His offensive rating is the worst in the ACC right now.
Yeah.
We're actually going to have Anthony DeBundo is going to give us the demo on offensive rating tomorrow, by the way. So everyone is going to get to see how the sausage is made tomorrow. So be sure to tune into that.
I'm looking forward to that, but I don't know. I just thought after going to IMG, getting the extra year, after watching his tape, I thought he had a great feel for the game in high school, and I thought he was going to be better than this. So I don't know. It's still early. I'm not like total panic mode here. I guess why I'm more worried, though, is because in today's day and age in college basketball, if it doesn't work out in your first year and you're a 5-star, you usually transfer. That's just going to be the future of the sport. And I'm not saying that's a Syracuse thing, that's a Jim Boeheim thing, whatever. That's the reality of the sport right now. And I don't know if it's going to be Benny, or maybe it's going to be agents and people getting in his ear saying, you could be an NBA guy, you just need to
parents,
go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's what scares me, right? Because do we need him this year? Sure, it'd be nice to have him because he's athletic and we don't have an athletic defense. But we really need him next year. Regardless of what happens. I know Jesse's coming on, but a lot of guys are leaving. Buddy and Jimmy are not on this year's team or next year's team. And they scored, whatever, 55 the other night or something like that. Like, it's a lot of our production gone. So he's so much of our future and so much of what we were sort of touting as the big name that's going to carry us through this post-Buddy era. And I'm a little worried, frankly, like what's the future for him at this stage?
Let's put it this way, okay? We're not worried about the talent of Benny Williams. We're worried about the climate at which he's in right now because of the era. Like if this is 5 years ago, we're not batting an eye about him struggling early on. We're not batting an eye. It's because there was never that threat of the instant transfer. Now that is in the cards, and that's what's got you and I both worried. We're not worried about his talent. We're worried about the prospects that if he struggles a little bit and isn't getting the playing time necessary, he's not going to stay. It's not going to be like Michael Carter Williams, where he's maybe has down numbers 1 year, but that sophomore season, he pops off.
Right.
We don't live in that era anymore. Like, sure, you see it at Purdue with Jaden Ivey right now, but for every Jaden Ivey, there's more Johnny Juzangs out there in the current era.
Yeah, look at Christian Lander for Indiana. I know he hit some shots, but that's a former 5-star. He did nothing for them last year. There's tons of guys all around Duke and UNC, and a lot of that was probably the limited offseason last year. But I'm glad you said that, because it's not like he's doing anything abnormal right now. It is totally normal for a freshman to come in and struggle.
Especially
and
with the schedule totally that's been played so far.
For a freshman to struggle on a really good team that's an experienced team that's playing a different type of defense, like, it's not a good situation for him to succeed. Tough schedule, all that. But you're right. It's now a different era in college basketball where Jim Boeheim is in a position that another coach maybe would just keep playing Benny.
Let him make the mistakes. Like, that's something that you're seeing now in the SEC, I think. Yeah. You're seeing like the Will Wades, the Nate Oates, the Eric Musselmans. Just let the guys go out there and make the mistakes. They'll figure it out.
And yeah, and that's like a good example of that is that guy Shackelford, who goes from Villanova. Villanova's not going to put up with that. And he transfers, kind of like
Quinterly.
Didn't find his role. Goes to Alabama. Alabama's like, here's the car keys. Just put that thing into 85 down the highway.
You hit a couple curbs, we don't care. All right. We've got good insurance.
Yeah. So I think a little bit of that is the times are changing, and Boeheim probably isn't the best coach for the whole, you know, get five stars and get them to the NBA and give them the car keys and make them happy and keep them happy. But that's a whole nother topic. I don't think he's doing anything wrong right now with Benny Williams playing time. I want to make that clear. Yeah. I'm just worried that maybe it comes around to February, March, and Benny's playing 5-6 minutes in some of these ACC games because his shot's not good. And if his shot doesn't get better, I just don't know how quickly he's helping out scoring wise.
And again, Jim Boeheim is paid to win basketball games. Right now, the minutes distribution between Jimmy Boeheim and Benny Williams is proper. I don't think anything is being done wrong there. And Jim Boeheim does deserve a lot of credit for that because it is a very tough situation that he's in there. One other thing I want to hit on with Benny before we get to some Twitter response from during the game. Getting bull rushed on that free throw. This is a turning point in his season here. He can either turtle up or that can be the kick in the ass he needs for going forward. I don't know what way it's going to go here, but remember that bull rush because that is going to be the turning point in his season, I believe. We're going to either see a different rejuvenated Benny that lives up to that five star or at least is contributing and just looks like a different player because that was the wake-up call he needed, or we're going to see the other way. He's going to veer off, he's going to shell up, and it's not going to look good. I don't think there's a middle ground there. I think this is the turning point for him.
Yeah, that's a good point. And based on everything we've heard about his work ethic, I don't see him turtling up. I see him only working harder. And that's part of why I'm hesitant to come on here and say I'm too worried about the guy, because he's definitely grinding. He's definitely doing all the right things. He's around experienced players that are on his side. They're helping him out. Boeheim, say what you want, but he'll develop him, and I think he will get better as the season progresses. I guess what I'm saying is he's at a point right now where he's further behind in his development than I thought he was going to be. Did I think he was going to struggle out of the gates? Yes. Did I think he was going to be one of the statistical offensive players in the ACC right now? Not necessarily. I'm not totally panicking. The shot is the big issue because, as Jim Boeheim said, if you're a forward and you're not making shots, it's hard to impact the game.
Right. I mean, this is his fork in the road. We'll see what avenue he takes. I'm really looking forward to these next couple of games of Benny. Like, we've seen guys pop off at the Garden. Like, even think back to, like, Matthew Moyer. Remember the Garden game?
Jalen Carey.
Against UConn? Jalen Carey. Like, this is where the youngsters can shine. So we'd love to see that Nova game be the Benny game. So we'll be plugged into that. Can't wait for it. All right. We will get to your Twitter thoughts in just a little bit, but Bet Online has you covered all season long with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues their march to the playoffs. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season, so head on over to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. All you got to do is punch in our promo code LOCKEDON and you will receive that bonus. Again, BetOnline.ag, promo code locked on for 50% off on your first deposit. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for the 2021 season. They even have some baseball futures up there, and I'm pretty jacked up right now because Cubs just signed Marcus Stroman, so I'm feeling a little bit better than maybe I was.
Jackie Bradley Jr., welcome back to Boston. You see that one today?
Yeah, I did. Wow. That one just came across the wire. But hey, the lockout, who knows what's going to happen there. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. So get in on all the action. And again, sign up today and receive 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code locked on. Bet Online, where the game starts. We had great Twitter interaction, I gotta say. One of the best, I feel like. And again, the nature and the wonkiness of the game certainly helped. But I do want to get to a couple of things that we saw. First, from our poll, that we put out that we talked about earlier about what how you're feeling about the team's outlook for the rest of the season. This one comes from Jeremy Long. They had no business winning that game, but they didn't fold even after giving up another huge double-digit lead. Confidence booster going forward. And I think that's an important point because, like, the way that that game played out towards the end and when they choked the lead the first time, like, this team had no business winning that game. Most college basketball teams have no business winning those kind of games, but you saw them in the resiliency, and I think that certainly makes you feel a little bit better, but you just don't want to be put in that situation. When you go up 16 on a team, that should be put away. That should be put away time at halftime when you're up 16 on a team.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because they squandered the lead, and it didn't necessarily feel like a choke. It just felt like, oh, yeah, like our defense is really bad, and it's harder to protect a lead when your defense is really bad. I think that was my big takeaway is the way that Indiana closed the gap was like record time for an 18-point deficit. I mean, it was like, how do you even let that happen? But also the offense
was like 14 minutes left to go in the second half, and it felt like the gap was essentially closed.
Yeah, so, and that comes back to the defense, and then I think we got a couple comments on this. I can try and pull some of them up.
Here's another one I like here. It's kind of along the same lines, and I think something that you want to get here. But this is from at AJ Simon. Before tonight, I didn't think they were A, good enough to go up 16 at half on a team like Indiana, B, good enough to survive and win against Indiana after blowing said lead, but I knew they were flawed enough to blow that lead. So now I really don't know what to think. Like, that game put you into a mental pretzel right there. Like, seriously.
Yeah,
that,
I would agree.
Every single one of those points was spot on.
Right. So Ryan James said, Joe deserves a lot of credit tonight. They were on him every possession at 75 feet. Turnovers relative to pressure and dribble time more than okay, plus willing to take the pressure shots. That's what I was going to get into. This team's fearless. They have a lot of competitors.
Yeah. It's the irrational confidence. Like, it really is that sort of team. Like,
but
not
you
to
want
steal
those guys in overtime.
No, I 100% agree with you. Mm-hmm. You want those types of guys because they're going to put you in any single game. They don't give a crap if Paolo Banchero's on the other side and Coach K is on his retirement tour bus. They don't care. They're fearless. And that's a good trait to have. Is it going to lose you some games? Yeah. Is Joe going to take boneheaded shots in overtime off a 30-footer and like these weird shots off of screens with a lot of time on the shot clock? Yes, it's going to happen. But guess what? I'd rather have that guy than the guy that kind of curls up and tucks their tail between their legs.
Exactly. So I guess that's what I'm saying is they blew the lead. They somehow didn't win that game in regulation thanks to a calamity of errors, missed free throws, whatever. But in general, I didn't feel like they choked. I just felt like their defense is flawed, so that allowed it to happen. This team doesn't have chokers, though. They have guys that are willing to take those
battle
shots.
Battle-tested.
Frank Anselm steps up and knocks down free throws. Jimmy did miss a couple free throws down the stretch, but in general, the free throw shooting was rock solid, and that's the way it was last year as well, and I think it's going to continue this year.
A couple more that I want to get to from the game. Let's see. This one's good. Great win. Jesse Edwards, yes. This is from at Orange and SC, by the way. Don't trust Gerard at the point. Frank stepped up big after giving up tying bucket and OT. Hopefully, Benny realized how physical he needs to be after getting tossed by TJD on the box out. Buddy improved overall. Cole and Jimmy are not athletic, but are competitors. So, boom. He gave you the freaking bullet
the
points
roster,
there.
I love it.
But, I mean, I largely agree with a lot of it. I wouldn't say I don't trust Gerard at the point, but it kind of gets into like what you were just saying, like the fearlessness. You're going to have to accept the bad with the good with a guy like Gerard. And I know a lot of people, especially at the point guard position, they like their consistency. And it's going to be frustrating at times because Gerard, I don't think, is going to be consistent this season. But Buddy, very much improved from last season, which is crazy to think after the run that he had. Benny, I think, got the wake-up call that he may have needed. And Cole and Jimmy, I mean, he kind of hit it on the head there. They're not the most athletic, but they're competitors. And we kind of talked about it with Cole. His three-point shot has been taken out of his bag for this entire regular season so far. But he's found other ways to impact games. He has struggled in some areas, but he's still finding, like, getting offensive rebounds and putbacks, getting some assists here and there, getting some steals. He's found other ways to impact the basketball games.
Yeah, we still need more from him, though. At least
I agree.
More consistency.
No, I totally agree.
Yeah, it's, like some talk at the start of the year, would you rather have him or Quincy? I don't even want to get into that because I know Quincy's not tearing it up at Oregon, but Quincy was really, really solid last year. And that's kind of the guy he's filling his, like, there's there, and there's a lot of production that is needed. And when you're going up against teams like Indiana, he got to 14 points in this game, but almost felt like a bad beat for our over-under in the prop shop because I think we were both on the under. Like, we put it at 12.5, but the overtime just allowed, and he did foul out, but it allowed him to go over. I felt like we hit it on the head that when he goes up against pretty tight perimeter defense, good competition, he's taken a step back, almost similar to Gerard a little bit. And I know he did have some good games in the battle for Atlantis in the last two games, and I guess the Auburn game was tight perimeter defense, but in general, he's got to have a higher floor night in and night out, I would say, for Syracuse to be successful this year.
I totally agree. Last one that we'll leave you guys with here. This is from at MadPad Keeping Nick. He said, refs are bad. Yeah. And listen, I'm not a ref complainer. You know that about me. Last thing I like to do is complain about the refs. And we talked about it yesterday. You put yourself in that situation at the end where you could have iced the game with free throws and stuff like that. Whatever. I'm not a ref complainer, but there were some calls like the buddy foul in the corner. Like there was, and it was both ways. It was both ways. Both fan bases had the right to be upset. Anyway, I digress. I say I'm not a ref complainer, and then I get up on my soapbox right there. He then goes to say, Jesse is this team's MVP, even though Buddy is obviously the best player. Joe is super important. None of these guys are athletes. Jury is firmly out on if Cole Swider or Benny Williams are any good right now. I want to get to that kind of that second sentence he had there. Jesse is this team's MVP, even though Buddy is obviously the best player. I found that pretty interesting because Jesse has emerged. Like, you feel confident that this is going to be the Jesse. Listen, he's not going to get 17 every single game, but if he can get you a dozen, some blocks, some good defense, a couple steals, 6 to 8 rebounds, you're going to feel good about that. And just the way that he changes the outlook of this team offensively, because we've said it, this team needs 3 scorers every single night. They need 3 guys. It reminds me of the Frank Tyus O'Shea days with this team, the Elijah Buddy Joe games that we would see. If that third guy wasn't there, you had zero chance to win the game. And it's the same thing this year. You need that third guy. And heck, if Jesse's going to enter the chat in that regard to be one of those 3 guys that you can consistently rely on every single night, then it's going to feel like whatever you get from Cole or Jimmy or JG3 on that given night is going to feel like gravy.
Right. I love how he's quickly gone from the X factor to the MVP. Big upgrade for Jesse to be taking that leap, but I totally agree with it. I think we're going to be saying this a lot this year, which is, man, like when we're doing our preview podcast, we're going to be like, you know what's big for this game? Jesse stays out of foul trouble. We need Jesse in this game. We're going to keep saying that, and we're not going to say it as much with the Cole Swider, even though he is needed. Like, that's what separates him on the MVP tier for Syracuse is, when they go up against UNC and Armando Bacot, when they go up against Florida State on Saturday, that's got some solid bigs, Jesse's got to stay out of foul trouble. That's so big for us because he is that X factor, that MVP of the zone.
I think here's one concerning thing, though, for me. When your X factor becomes your MVP and you're 4-3, that to me is problematic, which maybe you're misplacing your X factor at the beginning of the season. I always thought it was Joe Girard. Personally, and I think that kind of is more indicative of the fact that you're a 4-3 team right now. You take the highs and the lows with your inconsistent point guard there. If you thought Jesse was going to be the X factor for this team heading in, and you're 4-3, and Jesse's playing like an MVP more than an X factor, that's a little concerning.
Right. Well, also, Joe was, if he's the X factor, he scored 27 in a game you lost to Colgate and gave up 100. Yep. You know, it's like, so I don't know. I mean, it's a tough thing to actually pick an X factor or one guy because it's an interesting team that has a lot of up and down players at the moment, it seems like. But in general, they need Jesse and Joe more than they need most of the other players on the court night in and night out because Joe's bringing it up. He's dictating the offense. Jesse's the anchor of the 2-3 zone. And I also just look at it from a perspective of, when Jesse's off the court, who's in there? Frank's been fine, but that's a drop-off. When Joe's off the court, Saimir, I know a lot of people are vouching for him, but he's still turning it over. His defense still needs work, and he's not scoring as much as Joe.
Right. All right. That is going to wrap it for us here on today's show. We'll be back tomorrow. Florida State preview, DeBundo's digits, the whole jazz. You know the deal on a preview episode of the Locked On Syracuse podcast. Thank you for making us your first listen every single day. Send us those Spotify raps. Don't forget about that. We'd love to interact with you, share it, all that stuff. We love you guys. We appreciate you guys making us your first listen every single day. For Tim, I'm Tyler. We will preview Florida State with you guys tomorrow.